ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Everybody, welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 128 of the report, and we're rocking out to a little Rafael Sadiq right now, man. Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed, man. That was good, man. Rafael Sadiq off of the, which one was that? Stone, what? What is this album? Stone Rolling album. It's off the Stone Rolling album. Man, I was listening to, I was watching Luke Cage, man. And the first episode of this had Luke, Rafael Sadiq up in the club. I think he called it Harlem's Paradise or something. And he was performing this, man. I was like, damn, that shit's funky. I like that. And of course, man, I had to use that today, man. Real talk, man. Shout out to Rafael Sadiq, man. And shout out to the creators of that Luke Cage, man. That Luke Cage is all of that. Real talk. We're going to talk a little bit about that later, man. Real talk, man. But, yeah, it's been a week since the last time I talked to y'all. It's been a whole lot of shit going on. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, and we're going to do that here on the Span Report. But before I do that, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play those messages on the show and we'll respond in kind. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. I'll read those here on the show. And I respond in kind, man. I haven't gotten an email or a voicemail in quite a bit. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys, man. It's been a while, man. Real talk. Also, you can chop it up with me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. Like the Mr. Span fan page, man. You can catch these shows live as they happen on the Span Report. The Mr. Span fan page allows you to watch this on your Facebook page, on your phone, on your tablet, on your TV, wherever, man. You can watch this wherever you are, and you can participate in the chat room wherever you are. You don't have to be, you know, tied down to a computer or whatever. You can do all of that here by liking the Mr. Span fan page and catching these shows live and get those updates when we do go live here, right? And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. All of the videos are available there. All of the podcasts are available there. Everything, pretty much. You can donate to the show at thespanreport.com. You can donate as often as you like, how often you like. And whatever you give is also appreciated here at the Span Report, man. Everything, man, is available to you at thespanreport.com, man. Real talk. So, chop it up. I mean, thank you for everybody who goes there and just involves themselves in all of that. Right? Right? So, yeah, man. I have been working, right? Or hardly working for some of y'all. Some of y'all have noticed that your man Span don't work in the rain, right? So I got a chance, man, to like kind of catch up on some of that Luke Cage while I was at work. But there's been a few things that like happened over the course of the week that I kind of wanted to talk about, right? So of course you guys know, man, if you guys are any like gamers or anything like that, you're into like NBA 2K or whatnot. I'm an NBA 2K fan. I've been playing the game for quite a while. And one of the cool features about NBA 2K has been the fact that they allow for you to like create your own player. And then on top of that, to more immerse you into the game, they allow you to like kind of scan your own face into the game, right? So I'm like, cool, man. Like, they did this about 2 years ago. They started this about 2 years ago. And it's like, yo, man, like, you could put your face in the game. Like, the player looks exactly like you, right? And I'm like, yo, this is all of that. I can't wait to get into some of this, right? And it didn't quite work as well as it should have on 2K. I want to say 2K15 is when they first introduced that. Didn't really quite work that well. I mean, I got to a point where he like kind of looked halfway like me, so I just said fuck it, because I got tired of scanning my face, like sitting in front of my PlayStation camera and just like slowly rotating my head like this, like doing this shit, and then it finally, you know, scanning and whatnot, and then like you do all of that for about a good minute and a half, only for your scan to come out terrible. So what ended up happening, man, is like with this NBA 2K17 is they've moved a lot of the scanning away from whether or not you have like a PlayStation 4 camera or an Xbox Kinect. They've moved it away from there, and now you have to download the app on your phone, and then it uses your phone's camera to scan you, and then you upload your pictures to their servers, and then it scans like that, right? So I'm like, all right, cool. Maybe this might work a little bit better because my phone cameras are pretty good, right? Phone cameras are pretty good. Maybe this will work out better for your boy, right? Only it didn't quite work out better for your boy. Now I'm gonna show y'all this. NBA 2K and its creators need they ass whoop for what they did to your man Span. So if you're catching the show live, check this out, man. Just wait. Oh, damn, screen went out. Check that out. I don't know if you guys can see that. Does that look anything like me? Anything at all? Not exactly. Not exactly. I look like fucking Charlie Villanueva got mauled by a pit bull. That's not what I look like. That's not what I look like. And they need their asses whooped for doing that to your man, man. Real talk. That's just not cool, man. That's just not cool. I can't believe that they allowed it. Like, I can't believe after 2 years that this system is still operating that way. Like, it's still kind of ass for their system to still be operating in the way that it does, right? So that happened over the course of the week, right? Now, another thing kind of happened, too, that I thought was a little interesting, man. I went to this restaurant in Detroit. It was on, I want to say 6 Mile and Schaefer. I'm not going to give away the name. But I went there to go get something to eat, and there was this guy in there, man. I swear for Jesus, this dude was every bit of the Super Crip. I have never seen anything like this, bro. Like, not even in the movie have I seen anything like this, where this dude walks into the restaurant. He's got on a green Dickies outfit, green shirt, green pants. He's got on some blue Chuck Taylors. He's got a blue bandana, blue flag, draped over his left shoulder. He's got a blue flag wrapped around his left hand. He's got a white flag hanging out of his right back pocket. He also has a blue bandana tied around his forehead, right? Super Crip. Super Crip. And it didn't help. This dude was like pushing damn near 50. He was an older dude, man. You could not have told me that this dude had not been in all of the gang wars from the 1990s, man. Like, he was in the L.A. riots copping a TV or something, right? Like, I couldn't believe. I'm like, damn, they make Super Crips in Detroit. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Could not believe what I was seeing, man. And it was just funny to me. I wish I had taken a picture of this guy, because you had to see it to believe it. A Super Crip live in the flesh in Detroit. I didn't even think they made Super Crips live in the flesh in Detroit. One of y'all come get y'all uncles, man. One of y'all need to come out here and get your uncle. Real talk, man. Right? So, yeah, man, that was going on, man. Outside, like I said, I was watching TV and shit like while I was at work, because we've been getting a lot of rain here in Detroit, man. We had a flash flood warning. We actually did have some flooding happen here in Detroit, man. There were like people who were losing their cars, like their cars were being flooded out. They were like being submerged in water on the freeways, man. They had to like go take heavy machinery out to go retrieve folks' cars, man. So be careful if you get a car used in the next couple years in Detroit, because they might have had some flood damage. I want you to check the Carfax on it. Real talk. We had a lot of people who were driving into like car deep water on the Detroit freeways, man. So a lot of folks were affected by that. We had like a lot of sewage backup in downtown Detroit, man. Like people were trying to get on the Lodge Freeway to like go northbound from Detroit, and it was like, oh man, it was a lot of sewage backup and everything. Like the water was deep. We got a lot of rain. Like it rained pretty consistently for about 4 days. And today is like the first day that we haven't gotten any rain since, I want to say, Tuesday, Wednesday. So yeah, man, you know, that was going on. And I don't work in the rain per my contract, because it's a safety issue. You don't want to catch a man span working below underground and the walls collapse on me and I get buried alive. And so we don't work in the rain, and I was able to kind of catch up on some shows or whatnot. And one of the things that I was excited about was being able to watch Luke Cage, right? Now, Luke Cage is a Marvel comic property, and Marvel comic has been kicking ass when it comes to their movies, to their TV shows, man. Marvel is like pretty much like the gold standard right now when it comes to all of this comic book shit, right? So you got like the Captain America movies, you got the Avengers movies, you got the Iron Man movies, you got Black Panther coming out next year, you got the shows that are on Netflix with Jessica Jones and now Luke Cage, you got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., man. Like Marvel is kicking ass when it comes to bringing everybody into their comic book world, man. Like you can get immersed in everything, and a lot of these shows tie in together not only with the shows but with the movies as well. So you may catch up different parts of the story that was in the movie. You may catch up on that, like, oh shit, they were talking about that in the Winter Soldier, and it shows up in an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or some shit like that, right? So that's going on. But one of the things that I thought was real interesting, man, is the fact that we may be on the precipice of like a golden era of black television programming, right? Now, although I'm talking about Marvel and shit like that, but we may be on a precipice of a golden era of black television. And one of the reasons that I say that is that like right now we have quality programming with people of color in prominent positions and with prominent roles in these shows, right? So just like, I got like a little list of shows that are like out right now that are pretty fucking good. You got Blackish that comes on ABC. You got Atlanta that comes on FX. You got Queen Sugar, I believe, that comes on OWN. I have not yet seen Queen Sugar, but I'm hearing very good things about it. I don't have that channel, so I may end up buying it on like Google Play or something so that I can check that out for myself. You got Underground that comes on WGN. You got Power that comes on Stars. You got Survivor's Remorse that also comes on Stars. You got Ballers that comes on HBO. You got Empire that comes on Fox. You got Greenleaf, I think that comes on OWN as well. You got Luke Cage on Netflix. You got Scandal that comes on ABC, and you got How to Get Away with Murder that comes on ABC as well. Like, that's just like 12 shows just off the top. 12 good shows right off the top that get very good ratings, get very good reviews, and they have black people in prominent production positions and in prominent roles in these shows. A lot of the times, like, even with, like, say, for instance, Luke Cage is a black show. It's a black superhero show. On TV, we've been begging for things like this. We've been demanding things like this. And right now, we're pretty much being blessed with a lot of these programs, man. And so I was excited to catch the Luke Cage, man. Once I saw that first trailer, I'm like, yo, I'm all in. I had never read a Luke Cage comic book in my life, but I'm like, yo, I am all in for this. I am definitely all in for this, man. It's a very good show. As a matter of fact, I began watching Luke Cage yesterday. It's on Netflix right now. I think it's 13 episodes. I began watching it yesterday. I'm 8 episodes in. I watched that pretty much from the time while I was at work, I watched 2 episodes. And then from the time I left work, from when I got home, I watched another 6 episodes. It's really that good. It is really that good, man. And I think we should take heed and we should take notice to the fact that we got so many of these shows, man. Like that show Atlanta on FX, I catch that shit on demand because a lot of times there's something else on and I can't really catch it. But I catch that show Atlanta. Atlanta is a really good show. Like, it's funny, it's genuine, it's, like, it reminds me of my people from the South. Like, it reminds me of, like, my cousins and shit from the South. Like it is thick, right? It's, like, if you've ever been to Atlanta, if you know anybody from Atlanta, it feels like Atlanta. Like, real talk. Like, and I don't think I'm trying to put on or anything like that. It's a really good show, and I encourage anybody to go ahead and check it out. Blackish. Like, you know, you got a lot of people who yearn for a time where we had, like, the Cosbys and stuff like that. Blackish is a really good, smart, funny show when they attack a lot of different issues, and they make it fun, man. It's not always serious all the time. They make it fun. You can laugh at this family, man. It's a really good show. Power. You know, like, a lot of folks have this thing where they have to choose between Power and Empire, but both of those shows have different demographics. Not even so much different demographics, but they have different sort of audiences. Like, the way in which the shows are produced are different. So, like, Power is more of a gangsterish show where, you know, it's a drama-like show, whereas Empire is more so like it's kind of a musical. You know, they have its drama, it has its drama, and it has its soap opera-y kind of feel. But by and large, there's two different kinds of shows. And it was funny to me, like, earlier on when these two shows first came out, that folks kind of felt like they had to choose between the two. And I'm like, yo, man, you can like both. Nobody's going to whoop your ass for liking both of these shows, man. So, like, I think, like, right now, we're at a precipice where we are being blessed with a lot of really good black programming, man. And it's time for us to really take heed to a lot of what's going on with that, man. Real talk. But, yeah, man, that's been going on. And another thing that I've been thinking about, man, I made mention that I was at a restaurant in Detroit on the west side on 6 Mile and Schaefer. And I went to this restaurant on my way back to my station. And I went to pay for my food. I had ordered like a breakfast sandwich or something like that. I went to go pay for my food. The sandwich came out to about $4.83 or some shit like that, right? So I'm like, okay, cool. I pull out my debit card to pay for it, and they were like, yo, we don't take debit cards, right? We don't take debit cards. As a matter of fact, we don't take cards at all. But we do have an ATM machine set up, right? And so I instantly caught a tube, man. I instantly caught a tube. One is, when it comes to ATMs, especially like an ATM that's out of my network, like, I have to pay for that, right? So not only am I going to pay the ATM fee with the ATM, but I am also going to pay an ATM fee with my bank, right? Then on top of that, my sandwich didn't cost $20, so I didn't need a dub. I didn't need a dub, right? So I'm like, luckily, I had some cash on me. I had like about 15 bucks on me. But normally, I don't carry cash on me because of the nature of my job, right? Like, I don't carry cash. So in the event that some dude decides he wants to rob the gas man, he not really getting shit. He may get my card, but I could deactivate my card. He may get, my phone, but I could deactivate and I could really track my phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are things that I can kind of mitigate without taking much of a loss. When it comes to walking around with cash on you, once that cash is gone, it's fucking gone. So I don't really walk around with cash on me. So when I go to stores and stuff like that, man, a lot of times I pay for shit with my debit card, right? And so this idea that in order for me to pay for my food here, that I would have to go to an ATM machine and pay you an ATM fee, because those stores do get a slice of that ATM charge, that I got to pay you to get to my money on top of paying for my food. I'm like, yo, that's kind of like a tax. It's kind of like a little bit of a tax. Not only that, I think, you know, and I don't know all of the numbers surrounding this. Don't give me the lying. I'm not going to even try to get scientific with this shit. But I think a lot of this happens in places that have a lot of low income, like the surrounding neighborhood is full of low income folks, right? Like there's a poor tax, that people are being taxed for being poor. And so, like, you notice this in the hoods, man. Like, you go to restaurants where they be like, yo, or you go to a liquor store, and the liquor store tell you, yeah, man, like, if you're going to use your debit card to pay for this, either you buy $10 worth of shit, or we're going to charge you an extra 50 cents to a dollar for using your debit card, right? Or using your credit or debit card, right? Or you go to a restaurant, and they'll be like, yo, we don't have, we require you to charge at least $5 or whatever, or we'll charge you 50 cents. Some shit like that. But a lot of times you don't need, like if you go to a store, you go to the liquor store, you might not need $10 worth of shit. You may be going in there to like buy, you know, some, you might be going in to buy some beer, a couple bags of chips. That might cost you, if you buy two 22-ounce beers that cost two for four, that's like $4. And then if you're in Michigan, that's like $4.20 because you got the 10 cent deposit. Then you got a bag, a couple bags of chips, and that's like $1, $1.50 or whatever. You looking at, you might have spent $7, and they're like, yo, you got to spend $3 more in order for me to pay for this with my card. And that's bullshit. It's bullshit. So usually what I do, like a lot of times when I go into an establishment and they start talking about, yo, you got to spend, a minimum amount of money before we would accept your card, I just leave that shit right there on the counter. I leave that shit right there on the counter. I walk right, I'm like, oh, is that what we doing here? Then I'll leave that shit right there. And a lot of times what ends up happening is, all right, man, come, but only this one time. Like, you know what? Don't worry about it because I won't be back. Don't even worry about it because I won't be back. What they don't tell you, man, is a lot of times when these stores do shit like that, it is against your cardholder agreement, right? So these stores have an agreement when they decide they're going to accept debit or pay, credit card transactions, that they have some rules that they had to adhere to. And one of those things, one of those rules was the fact that they want your credit card users, your credit card companies want you to be able to use your credit or debit card the same way that you would be able to use cash. And by telling you that you would have to pay an extra amount of money or spend a certain amount of money in order to use this card kind of takes away from the convenience of using the card. So they tell their merchants not to do it. Right? They tell their merchants not to do it. But what their merchants aren't going to tell you is that that's against their cardholder agreement. So what happens is, with there being in a lot of low income neighborhoods, a lot of low information places where folks don't know, they never question it. And they're able, these stores and these gas stations and these restaurants are able to kind of get away with taking in extra revenue just off you trying to use your card, which is supposed to be a convenience for you. Right? So they do that. And It grinds my fucking gears, man. It grinds my gears because not enough people really know that they aren't allowed to do that. Credit cards, they are, though. I had to do a little bit of reading, right? So I took this, you know, one of the things that like made me think about this, like as I was talking about this, I had to go look it up because after a while I was like, yo, am I tripping? Are they allowed to do this? And I went to this place called TheBalance.com. And they had an article about whether or not it's illegal for merchants to charge you an extra fee to make a minimum purchase. And one of the things that they talked about here, they said on credit cards versus debit cards, it says, for whatever reason, the law does not address debit card transactions from a consumer perspective. The law does limit how much retailers have to pay when you pay with the debit card, and the cost for accepting debit cards are generally lower than the cost of accepting a credit card. This is even true if the buyer uses the debit card but chooses the credit transaction. So are merchants allowed to do whatever they want when you pay with the debit card? The simple answer is no. A merchant's agreement with card processing networks prohibits them from setting a minimum purchase amount for debit card transactions. Some retailers may not realize that there's a difference between credit cards and debit cards, and some may just choose not to follow the rules. A lot of them are choosing not to follow the fucking rules. Like, you ever notice when you go to a gas station and, like, you'll notice, like, if you pay cash, there's a certain price, and then if you pay with a debit card or if you pay with a credit card, there's a separate price, and usually the credit card transaction costs you about 10 cents more per gallon, right? Now, a lot of us are going into the gas station, and we're using our debit cards, right? Our debit cards are processed in a different way than our credit cards are, but you think these gas stations aren't still trying to charge you that credit card price? They're still trying to charge you that credit card price. You got to go in there and tell them, like, yo, man, this is a debit card. It's not the same. It's not the same. Not enough people really know that they don't have to accept that. Especially in some of these lower income neighborhoods, they don't know that they don't have to accept that. And so, like, you think about all the times, like, say for instance, when folks have like prepaid debit cards, right? It used to call, like, there was a time when your man Span wasn't as well off as I am now, where I had to, like, I had instead of a checking account, I had a prepaid debit card, right? I think it was the Green Dot card or something, right? And they would charge me to put money on my Green Dot card, right? So you get money for loading money onto, you got to pay them money to load money onto your card. Then on top of that, there was a monthly maintenance fee. So now I'm paying you for the ability for me to use this card. It was a monthly maintenance fee that I had to pay. Then there was a minimum balance that you had to keep on this debit card, right? This prepaid debit card. It was a monthly balance. And if you didn't keep that monthly balance, guess what? They charge you, similar to a checking account, but not with all of the advantages of having a checking account, right? So there's this tax on being poor and trying to use these systems that I think a lot of folks really aren't paying attention to. And so, me being me, like, when I have those little bitty opportunities to, like, kind of put people up, I try to so hard, man. So when I'm in the liquor store and a guy tries to tell me I got to spend an X amount of dollars in order to use my card, I just leave that shit right there on the counter. Like, yo, y'all know he not supposed to do that. And 9 times out of 10, every time I've done that, the dude behind the counter is like, yo, man, we'll go ahead, man, use the card. It's one of those things, man, that I think a lot of folks just really aren't, you know, they're not aware of. They're not privy to this information. And so me doing my public duty, man, as part of my advocacy for the people, don't let these damn merchants, man, charge you for using your debit card or use the okie doke and be like, yo, we don't take cards, but we can take that. Uh-oh. We got this ATM over here you could use. Nah, man. Don't fall for that shit, man. Don't fall. You know what? Don't even worry about it. I will leave that freshly cooked sandwich right on the fucking counter. Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm not about to pay you to get to my money. Come on, man. So, yeah, man. Stop falling for that poor tax, man. Real talk. Now, another thing happened over the course of this week, man. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton had their presidential debate. Their first of three presidential debates happened this week. And I gotta say, man, I can't for the life of me understand how anybody could be undecided at this particular point in the race. Like, I don't understand, y'all. Like, I don't get, and I see a lot of folks talk about, well, it's like a choice between two evils, right? I got to pick between the lesser of two evils. So one says the truth and he does, like, somebody said, like, one of them tells the truth, but you don't like what he's saying, and the other one doesn't tell the truth at all, but she sounds good, right? And I gotta say, man, that's like one of the most amateurish-ass observations of this race that I've ever seen, right? You can go through the policies of both of these candidates to see whether or not they line up with your particular political philosophy. You can go through those policy procedures, but that takes work. That takes something that, you know, a lot of folks really aren't willing to do. A lot of people are really fucking lazy in how they go about examining the candidates and what they represent and what policies that they have, the policies that they plan to put in place once they do get into office and who's popular, right? So I know, like, a lot of people on the left are real, you know, is real popular to say that, you know what, I'm going to vote for either Johnson or Jill Stein, right? And, like, I've said this on numerous occasions. I said this before, man. Like, the whole third party thing, yeah, it sounds sexy, man. It sounds like, you know, you sound like you might be, you know, it sounds like you're trying to be exceptional instead of being, or when you're just being the exception. So, like, you voting for Jill Stein knowing that she will not win kind of seems like a waste, even though your conscience may be assuaged by doing so. Kind of seems like a bit of a waste, right? And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. When it comes to these third-party candidates, I need to see them put in more work on more local elections instead of showing up at the end of the cycle. Instead of showing up and being like, you know what, I want to be president. They have no political base, like no real established base behind them. They haven't put in the work to garner the political allies, so to speak, to where when they do get into office as president, if in the off chance that one of these third party candidates do become president, that they have allies in the Congress and in the Senate to pretty much, how can I put this? I don't know why the fuck I'm drawing a blank right now. To get what they need pushed through, right? Because the president can't operate as an autonomous unit. Like he can try to push through a lot of things through executive order. And President Obama has had to do a lot of that lately because of the obstruction that he's faced in the Congress. But by and large, he's going to have some allies in the Congress in order to get a lot of shit passed, right? So when these third party candidates rear up, it's like, okay, who do you have to kind of undergird your platform? And a lot of times they don't have anybody. They don't have anybody in the House of Representatives. They don't have anybody in the Senate. They don't have anybody that's a judge. They don't have anybody in these other branches of government. So when they show up for these presidential elections and folks are like, yeah, well, I don't like the major party candidates, so I'm going to vote for these. Like, yeah, okay. This, honestly, to me, sounds like a thrown away vote, right? Sounds like a thrown away vote. But I'm not going to tell people how to vote. I just kind of feel like it's a bit late in the game for you not to know. Like the undecideds, I kind of be like, yo, it is. I don't see how folks can be undecided at this particular point, right? So the debates happened earlier this week. And I got to tell you, man, like Donald Trump is a this dude. I can't, like, it's amazing to kind of watch this guy operate where he can say one thing and then an hour later say something totally contradictory to what he said before, or, you know, like not acknowledge the things that might not have even been said like an hour before, but some things that he may have said prior to the debate. Like, so when you talk about his position on climate change, it's one thing and then it's another. You talk about his position on his income taxes. It's one thing, and then there's another, right? So when we talk, like, say, for instance, with the income taxes, Donald Trump has had, you know, a lot of people have been putting pressure on Donald Trump to release his income taxes. And before he was like, yeah, I'm going to release my income taxes when the audit is finished, right? He says, I'm under audit, so I want to wait till the audit is finished before I release my income taxes. Okay, that almost sounds reasonable, right? Almost sounds reasonable. And then they find out, like, yo, you got some other income taxes that you could release that aren't under audit anymore. Why, you could release those? And he's like, nah, those don't count, right? And then he says, well, you know what? In the debate, he says, well, you know what? I'll release my income taxes if Hillary Clinton finds those lost emails that she got rid of, right? So she's got all these emails that she's gotten rid of. I release my income taxes when Hillary Clinton releases those emails. Real clever, right? She got to release these emails, then I release my taxes, which he knows she's not going to do, which means he's also not going to release those income taxes, right? But then one of the things that kind of happened during this debate, and Hillary Clinton kind of spoke to why Donald Trump was a bit reluctant to share those income taxes And hold on a second, because I think I... Hold on. What the hell happened? Let me update my site real quick. Because I had this video of why Donald Trump decided that he did not want to release his income taxes. And I want to play this for you guys here. Just a second. Let me make sure I got everything lined up and up in order. Because I got a lot of videos to show you guys today. A lot of videos. Just a second. All right. So here we go. Let me pull this up here. Here's Donald Trump admitting to not paying any income taxes. Check this out.
Secretary Clinton.
Well, I think you've just seen another example of bait and switch here. For 40 years, everyone running for president has released their tax returns. You can go and see nearly, I think, 39, 40 years of our tax returns, but everyone has done it. We know the IRS has made clear there is no prohibition on releasing it when you're under audit. So you've got to ask yourself, why won't he release his tax returns? And I think there may be a couple of reasons. First, maybe he's not as rich as he says he is. Second, maybe he's not as charitable as he claims to be. Third, we don't know all of his business dealings, but we have been told through investigative reporting that he owes about $650 million to Wall Street and foreign banks. Or maybe he doesn't want the American people, all of you watching tonight, to know that he's paid nothing in federal taxes, because the only years that anybody's ever seen were a couple of years when he had to turn them over to state authorities when he was trying to get a casino license, and they showed he didn't pay any federal income tax. So
that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid zero, that means zero for troops, zero for vets, zero for schools or health.
Our country has tremendous problems. We're a debtor nation. We're a serious debtor nation. And we have a country that needs new roads, new tunnels, new bridges, new airports, new schools, new hospitals. And we don't have the money because it's been squandered on so many of your ideas.
Let's
and
respond,
maybe
and we'll
because
next...
you haven't paid any federal income tax for a lot of years. And the other thing I think is...
Now, hold on.
And we have a country that has tremendous
troops, zero for vets, zero for schools or health.
Our country has tremendous...
So
that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid zero,
so that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid, so
that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid, so
that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid,
okay. He hasn't paid any income taxes. That makes him smart. Now, you know what's funny about that? Is that, like, I work in a pretty blue-collar job, right? I work with a lot of white guys, right? Some of these guys voting for Donald Trump, like, they really think that Donald Trump is going to be a lot better for the country, right? They connect with Donald Trump. They think Donald Trump's a smart guy. They think Donald Trump speaks how they feel. They think Donald Trump represents the average, everyday dude. And I work with these dudes. We all paying taxes, man. So by us paying taxes, does that somehow make us stupid? Donald Trump doesn't pay taxes, so that makes him smart. He said so. Just there, right? But then we got to listen to Donald Trump, not even an hour later, deny that he said that he doesn't pay taxes. Check this out.
Gosh, Dana, let's go get him.
And my question for you is, first of all, it sounds like you admitted that you hadn't paid federal taxes and that that was smart. Is that what you meant to say?
No, I didn't say that at all. I mean, if they say I didn't, I mean, it doesn't matter. I will say this. I hate the way our government spends our taxes. No, I didn't say that at all. I mean, no, I didn't say that at all. I mean, no, I didn't say that at all. I mean, no, I didn't say that at all. I mean, if they say I didn't, I mean, it doesn't matter. I will say this. I hate the way our government spends our taxes because.
All right. Now.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh, my God. Stop fucking lying.
I halfway expected Hillary Clinton to straight up come out, like, be in this debate halfway through this and just bust out in these moves and be like,
why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God, stop fucking lying.
Straight up, man. Donald Trump lied right there on national TV. Right there. Not even an hour after having the debate. After telling America, you know, it makes me smart that I'm not paying taxes. To say that, nah, that ain't what I said. That ain't what I said.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God. Stop fucking lying.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Donald Trump almost tried to hit us with the young Jedi mind trick, man. Like, Donald Trump was like, yo, I don't pay any income taxes. And then after, like, in the spin room, was like, that ain't what I said. It's almost like that old Jedi mind trick. Eddie Murphy talked about it, bro.
I heard you did some jokes about me.
No, you didn't.
Maybe I didn't. I'm going to go beat up the fool that told me them lies.
Real talk. Right? Donald Trump out here trying to pull a young Jedi mind trick on America, man. He been doing it, too. It's a lot of stupid motherfuckers out here voting for Donald Trump. And I'm going to just say it right now. If you voting for Donald Trump, you's a stupid motherfucker. Right? You just dumb. I saw on my Facebook timeline earlier this week, man. It was this young lady. I think she said she's like 24 years old and she's tired of like black people telling her that it's dumb for her to vote for Donald Trump. So she's going to vote for Donald Trump in spite of. Right? Not that what he's presenting is compelling. Not that what he's presenting is best for the country. No, I'm going to do it in spite of these niggas telling me, yo, man, something's wrong with this guy. You might not want to vote for him. Right? Got a lot of in spite of voters when it comes to Donald Trump, man. So, yeah, man, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, they went through their debate. It was, like, I think Hillary kind of cleaned his clock. And I'm just more so surprised, again, like I said, when I watch these debates and when I watch this whole political thing play out, when I start seeing folks talk about how they don't know who they're going to vote for, how they think they're picking one evil over another, it's like, yo, man, I don't get it. I don't get it. And to some degree, like, it's funny because, like, especially when it comes to Hillary Clinton, it's funny because now all of a sudden, like, people are really holding Hillary Clinton's feet to the fire when she had that, you know, when she talked about super predators back in the 90s. And they haven't let her, they have not let her get away with that. And there's the thing, there's something to be said about holding people accountable. But there's also something to be said about letting people make mistakes, or not even so much letting people make mistakes, but letting folks acknowledge that what they said was wrong, that it was a mistake, and they don't want to perpetuate that mistake again. Donald Trump doesn't give you that. Donald Trump would just flat out tell you that what you heard was not what you just heard. That what I said was not just what I said. The choices are clear. When it comes to, especially when it comes to black folks, right? Let's just be honest. When it comes to black folks, the choices are clear. At least it is to me, right? So when you talk about the outreach to, you know, to African-American communities, and Donald Trump says, you know what? We need to go to stop and frisk. We need to start patting these niggas down. We need to make sure that all these, we need to put this on a national scale. Donald Trump said we need to institute stop and frisk on a national scale, despite the fact that stop and frisk was deemed unconstitutional, and that's why they took that shit out of New York. It was deemed unconstitutional. That the vast majority of the stop and frisk that was happening to black and Latino men. That the vast majority of the stop and frisk did not get them any contraband, did not get them any illegal weaponry, did not get them any drugs. A lot of it was just stopping motherfuckers because you thought they would, they might have had something because of what they look like. It was deemed unconstitutional. Donald Trump wants to make that the national standard. Guess who bears the brunt of that national standard should stop and frisk become a national platform? Me and you. Me and you. Right? So it's like, to me, when it comes to this, again, like, I'm pretty sure that those who may listen to my show aren't really fucking thinking about voting for Donald Trump. But what I'm saying is, like, yo, man, it's a lot of people who kind of are. It's a lot of people who don't give a fuck about what issues we have to deal with. Like, I was working in, like, an area where, like, yo, I'm working in spots where people got Donald Trump lawn signs, man. And like, yo, make America great again. And here I am, this black dude working on a house. And they look at me like the help. Like the help. Never mind what my job position is. Never mind how much I get paid to do what I do. They looking at me like, yo, That's the help. Right? So, yeah, man, like the debates happen. It's amazing to me how we let Donald Trump off the hook for a lot of stuff as Americans, not just black Americans or what, just as Americans, period. The fact that this guy has a 50% shot at the White House is astounding to me. And what it tells me is that Americans are fucking dumb. We got some dumb motherfuckers that's going to the polls this year. We got some dumb motherfuckers that are not going to the polls this year. Right? So, yeah, man. That's been going on. Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, the debates. It's going to be interesting to see how the rhetoric around these debates sort of change because, yeah, man. Yeah. So, another thing happened over the course of this week, right? So, LeBron James gave an interview during Media Day. Like, you know, the NBA is, like, going back into their training camps, and they have Media Day where they, you know, they put on their uniforms for the first time of the year. They start practice, and they start training camp and stuff like that. You know, Halloween will probably be around the time when we start seeing our first regular season NBA games and whatnot. And, LeBron James made the mistake. I don't have this video available. Out of all the videos I got up, I don't think I got the video of LeBron James talking about All Lives Matter, right? But he did say All Lives Matter. And he said it in the context of where the question was asked of what his opinion was of Colin Kaepernick and whether or not he had planned to do anything similar in the NBA and whether or not he knew of any players in the NBA who had planned to do anything similar where they would somehow protest during the national anthem. Now, LeBron James said that he planned on standing during the national anthem, but that he respected that Colin Kaepernick did not. And he respected the reasons why Colin Kaepernick did not. He stated that Colin Kaepernick had took on the most peaceful protest he had ever seen, pretty much. He also said that he didn't understand the negative feedback that Colin Kaepernick was getting for the demonstration that he was perpetuating over the course of this NFL season, right? And so LeBron James, in the middle of this entire, you know, in the middle of this statement, utters the words, "All Lives Matter," right? And in doing so, invoked the wrath of a lot of people on Twitter, Facebook. I've heard other podcasters call him a coon. Call LeBron James a coon, right? And you know what's interesting about, you know, this notion that LeBron James is somehow a coon because he decided that, you know, at that particular moment to voice that All Lives Matter. And I understand how loaded the term is now. Like, I mean, you guys been listening to me for a minute. You guys know how I feel about this. I understand how saying those three words are dismissive and how those three words have been used to dismiss the movement of Black Lives Matter and how a lot of the people who say All Lives Matter are using it to just say, you know what, man, fuck what y'all talking about, right? But in this particular instance, I think LeBron James has become a victim of the purity test. And the reason that I say LeBron James has become a victim of the purity test is because it's as if folks have forgotten the things that LeBron James has been able to do, has done, and the awareness that LeBron James has brought to a lot of the issues surrounding the Black Lives Matter movement, right? Have we forgotten that LeBron James and Dwayne Wade were the ones who spearheaded that now considered iconic photo of the Miami Heat all in their hoodies in support of Black Lives Matter and Trayvon Martin? Have we forgotten that LeBron James went out? And he wasn't the only one out there. LeBron James, Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade. A lot of NBA stars went out in a shoot around wearing I Can't Breathe t-shirts in response to what happened to Eric Garner in New York after he was choked to death by Daniel Pantaleo. Officer Daniel Pantaleo in New York. Fuck that guy. Have we forgotten that? Have we forgotten that LeBron James, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony took it upon themselves to speak out against police brutality at the ESPYs to start the show? Now, sure, they didn't say the most radical shit in the world, but they felt it was important enough for them to start the most, one of the more important sports award shows with that message after the deaths of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. Have we forgotten that? Just that fast? We've forgotten that? Have we forgotten that LeBron James gave $41 million of his own money to put 1,100 people to college? Like to give them scholarships to get them through college? 1,100 people, $41 million of his own money dedicated to getting folks in the Akron area through college. And he starts with these kids. He starts with these kids from the third grade. From the third grade. Hold on, man. I can't let this pass. Hold on. This is from Business Insider. This video that I'm going to play right now for you guys is from the Business Insider. And this is talking about the LeBron James Family Foundation, which focuses on health and education for children in his hometown. Yeah, absolutely. It's called the
We Are Family Reunion. And we hosted, once again, it's our second year hosting it at Cedar Point, which is one of the greatest amusement parks in the world in Sandusky, Ohio. But we got an opportunity to bring 5,000 families to the park and be a part of our reunion. Once again, we welcome our new third graders into the program. And this is our sixth year of having it. So we got our first group of third graders now in the eighth grade, and now we just welcome in our new crew of third graders. So it's a fantastic time for our foundation and for the kids as well.
Why third grade?
Well, the statistics show when we wanted to get into the educational side of things, the statistics show that if the kids fell back behind in the third grade, then the chance of them graduating was a lot less than any other grade. It was second or fourth or first. It started in the third grade, and that was the notion to us to let us know, okay, this is the grade that we need to start at. We need to get these kids in the third grade, and we've been fortunate enough to be in our sixth year now. Like I mentioned earlier, now we have our third graders who first started the program are now in eighth grade, and now we have our new group of kids coming in, and it's been warming for me to see these kids really accept this.
And one thing that just went viral is the news that you're now suddenly going to help these kids get four-year scholarships to college when they become of age. So tell me about that.
Well, I worked very closely with the University of Akron, and I wanted to do something even more special. Obviously, we started off with mentoring these kids, the third graders, all the way up into high school, and get them to a point where they can eventually graduate high school. But I didn't think that was enough. I wanted to take it even more, a step further than that. So partnered with the University of Akron, where we've started another program to where if the kids sustain a 3.0 grade point average, something that we feel like our kids can meet under the circumstances that we're given, under the supervision that we're giving them, that they're at the end of that road is a college scholarship to help them get into college, and then they can take that from there. So, that's what we're hoping our kids can do. We know our kids can do that, and we're going to keep the infrastructure around them to make sure that they can accomplish that.
That's not a cheap thing that you're offering here. It's about $41 million, I think,
yeah,
of commitments.
Yeah, it is.
All right. We calling this dude a coon. We got niggas out here calling this dude a coon, man. Now, you know what's funny, man? Like, earlier today, I got into a little bit of a kerfuffle, right? I was on Facebook, man. One of my homies from high school, man, like, he had posted an article. It was about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan had gave $5 million, I believe, to, I want to say it was to the African American Museum, the Smithsonian, I believe, the one that just opened last week. And he had given $5 million to that effort, right? To what's going on there. And one of the things that I saw in the comments of that were niggas sitting up talking about that ain't enough. He shouldn't even be giving money to that museum. He should be giving money to the people, because the people are the ones he done made all his money off of. So he should be giving that money back to the people. And I'm like, yo, how are niggas policing how somebody decides to give their money towards efforts that they think are important? How do you find yourself in a position to feel like you could police anything like that? If I decide to give a homeless guy, if I decide to give this homeless guy $5, who the fuck are you to say that me giving this guy $5 is worthless and it doesn't help anything if that guy gets a meal off of that $5? Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you? Right? And so I'm watching people call LeBron James a coon, right? So check this out. Here go, like, I saw a couple of tweets, man. Like, folks are tweeting about this. Some dude that goes by the name of OG Rob G says Lil Wayne a coon, Cam Newton a coon, LeBron James a coon. Damn, 2016 must be the year of a coon, right? You got another chick that goes by the name Queen Marissa. She says LeBron James is over. What a coon. Carl Alone, I don't think he really meant that LeBron James was a coon, but he wrote and said that everyone calling LeBron James a coon and Uncle Tom for saying all lives matter, but y'all still gonna watch the Cavs. The thing is, man, is there's this attitude, there's this purity test that goes on, man, where, like, unless you are following lock and step with the narrative, then you are going to be demonized. And that is so much bullshit. We can't eat our own because we don't all fall in fucking line. We can't do it, especially if we're going to ignore all of the contributions that somebody has made, especially when those contributions could be much more than whatever the fuck we've done, right? Now, I'm not one to pocket check nobody. I'm not watching nobody's pockets. But how many of you niggas that are calling LeBron James a coon have given anything to the fucking cause other than a few tweets, other than a status update, other than a picture? How many of you have done any fucking thing? Anything to call that man a coon? To question that man's blackness, to question that man's commitment to what this movement is, because in a press conference he uttered the three words, all lives matter. How do we find ourselves where we're doing this to those who are trying to help? How do we do that? How do we bring ourselves to that point where LeBron James is a coon, despite the fact that he's brought attention to Trayvon Martin, despite the fact that he's brought attention to Eric Garner, despite the attention he's brought to Eric Castile, I mean, I'm sorry, Eric, shit, Philando Castile and Alton Sterling. Despite the fact that he's given back to his community to the point where he's mentoring third graders, he's got a mentorship program from third graders all the way up to fucking college, and he's paying for their college if they keep a 3.0. How do we get to the point where we calling folks like that a coon? And this is why this whole, like, I heard the Willie D song and shit, it's funny and all of that other stuff, but, like, at a certain point, man, some of you niggas who call yourselves calling out coons do some real fucked up shit yourself. You ain't put in no fucking work, and you gonna call yourself calling somebody else out who has? Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. It don't make sense, man. It don't make sense. So, like, as I'm, like, watching this shit play out, I also heard of another podcaster, and I'm not really familiar with his sister. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never heard of this sister, and I've never heard of her podcast until I was looking this up. And so I'm listening to this podcast, and she doesn't really have a name for her podcast, but she broadcasts on Spreaker, and her name's like Kimberly Frazier. And Kimberly Frazier did an episode of her podcast where she says, looks like LeBron James is on that whole All Lives Matter bullshit too, right? Listen to what this sister had to say about LeBron James and him uttering the lies, him uttering the phrase All Lives Matter at that Cavs Media Day. Check this out.
And like I said before, and I'll say it again, sometimes you celebrities, whatever the fuck you want to call yourselves, when you're asked a question from a white person or white racist run media, sometimes it's best to say no comment. Never hurt anybody. Because 9 times out of 10, and you never disappoint, you always say some stupid fucking shit that makes people want to give you the goddamn side eye all the time. I mean, you're no different than a Charles Barkley, Stephen A. Smith, RZA, any of the countless fucking coons out there that are trumpeting this fucking All Lives Matter bullshit. And that's what the fuck it is. It's fucking bullshit. Nobody's saying that all lives doesn't fucking matter, you fucking mongoloid looking idiot. It's the reason why Black Lives Matter got started in the first place, because we're trying to say that Black Lives Matter too. And your little simple short bus ass don't seem to fucking get that. That's phenomenal to me that you don't fucking get that. All lives matter. You know, I believe in what Colin is doing, but I'm not going to do what he's doing. You could have just kept that to yourself. Nobody needed to hear that shit. You could have kept that to your goddamn self. Nobody gives a shit what your tall, missing link looking ass was going to do or wasn't going to do. A simple no fucking comment would have sufficed.
That's what he's getting. She called him a mongoloid looking motherfucker. Like, there's a lot of hate there, dude. There's a lot of hate there to the point where they start like attacking how you look. Attacking your intelligence. Attacking your, it's just amazing to me, man. It's amazing how quickly we will flip on somebody while we're doing these purity tests. These purity tests are fucking stupid. They are fucking stupid. In the context of what LeBron James has done, has said before, and has continued to do, I'm not mad at him for what he said. I'm not. I can't be. Because I know what he's done. I know what he said before. I know how he's operated prior to this statement. Right? Now, one of the things that's interesting about this is Cam Newton, right? Like I may mention to Cam Newton last week when I talked about this. Is that with Cam Newton got into a lot of shit earlier in the year because the Super Bowl was played this February, so October. This is October 1st, so like 8 months ago, Cam Newton was talking about all of the backlash that he got for dancing, for dabbing on motherfuckers, for having fun while he's out there while doing the Superman shit. He got all of the backlash from that. He got open letters being written to him in newspapers across the country about how he conducts himself as a football player and how it's offending folks, how he conducts himself as a football player in the NFL. And Cam Newton, I believe, spoke from the heart when he said, yo, it's a lot of people who don't know what to do with me and they're scared because they never seen nothing like me, a black quarterback doing what I do. Right? Then you follow that up with some of the statements that Cam has made lately, and it's two different dudes. And you find out that Cam Newton is being coached by Frank Luntz, who's a political consultant, who works, he's a frequent contributor to Fox News. He is one of the people who kind of tells you how to talk and how to appeal to a certain demographic. Most of the demographic that he's trying to get Cam Newton to appeal to is Southern white folks. Because let's not forget, Charlotte is a Southern city. North Carolina is in the South. They have a pretty conservative owner. And his last name is Richardson, right? Now, I am a Carolina Panthers fan. I have been a fan of the Carolina Panthers pretty much since their fucking inception, right? I know y'all see me with the Lions and shit like that, and I am a Lions fan too. But if you're a Lions fan, man, you gotta have a second team. It's just like part of your mental makeup, like or part of your like mental health. It's important for your mental health to have a second team, and the Carolina Panthers have been mine, right? But the words that are coming out of Cam's mouth, I take with a grain of salt because I know that those words aren't what Cam, well, I can't say that I know. I feel that those words that Cam Newton are speaking right now are those of the result of him being coached by someone who's trying to teach him how to appeal to those Southern white folks who don't want to hear Cam Newton speaking about being black and scaring them, and they've never seen anything like him before. To the point where they're writing letters to the Tennessean, to the point where they're writing letters to the Charlotte Observer to talk about how poorly he's represented himself as a football player because he's enjoying himself, because he dabs on his opponents, right? And folks have called Cam Newton a coon. I will not go to the point of denying Cam Newton his blackness because I disagree with Cam Newton on the shit that he's saying right now. Because right now, I feel like the shit that Cam Newton is saying, he's saying it as a result of that coaching. But for us to get to the point where we start ignoring the contributions of some of these athletes and some of these people of prominence and some of these people who have platforms, but if we start ignoring everything they fucking did before, for that one moment, where they say some shit we don't like, then why the fuck are we doing any of this? Why are we doing any of this? If all it takes is that one time. Why? That's like, I don't know, man. Like, let's just say, for instance, like, some of you who may rock with me right now, right? You go back and you listen to some of the early Spare and Pour episodes. Like, if you listen to, like, you know, I don't know, like episode 4, when I'm talking about Keisha Cole's titties and why I felt like Keisha Cole shouldn't have got the breast reduction because like people like looking at her titties. Like, that's how I felt at the time. You can go back and listen to that, like, man, fuck this guy, man. Like, you know, especially if you like a woman who feels like I'm objectifying Keisha Cole and everything else, because at the time I was, man, I was. But I'm not that same dude, right? So if you can go back, you'd be like, you know what? Span said this back in like 2011. Span said this back in 2010, man. Fuck that guy. And disregard everything I've said since then. Why are we doing anything? If everything is about, I got you. We take the context totally out of it. Everything is about, I got you. That nigga's a coon. He ain't down for the cause. He ain't doing what I think he should be doing for black folks, so fuck that guy. Right? It's crazy. These purity tests are fucking dumb. Context is important. Right? Now, if LeBron James had come out and said all lives matter and he had made an effort to, like, not be vocal about these issues when it came to Black Lives Matter, when it came to the deaths of Eric Garner, when it came to the deaths of Trayvon Martin, when it came to the deaths of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, when it came to these issues where he didn't say anything, and then all of a sudden when you come out, he's like, yo, you know, sometimes we got to police ourselves. You know, we Black folks are hypocritical, man. That Black on Black crime, man, we don't say nothing about Black on Black crime. You ain't heard LeBron James say none of this bullshit. And niggas are still out here calling that man a coon. Still out here calling that man a coon, man. It's sad, man. It's really a sad state of affairs to where we start applying these purity tests and disavowing folks and not acknowledging the work and the effort that they've already put in towards the movement and towards the effort for the inclusion and the equality of Black lives, man. It's sad when we start applying these purity tests. We eat our own, and it's fucking dumb. It's fucking dumb. So, yeah, man. That's all I got to say about that, man. Real talk. But we have come up to our our segments, man. It's time for our ass hat of the week, and so
yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And our ass hat this week, man, it hurts, man. Oh my God, I swear this hurts. Our ass hat of the week is Layla Ali. Right? Now, Layla Ali is an ass hat this week. And it's interesting that I would call her ass hat of the week considering what I've just got finished talking about, right? Like, folks would be like, yo, man, how you gonna call Layla Ali an ass hat of the week considering you just... the one thing you just talking about, Span, like, how can you do that, right? Layla Ali has kind of earned her ass hat of the week status because of an interview that she did with Huffington Post, right? Now, the Huffington Post asked Layla Ali a question about navigating the world as an athlete in the public and being for or expressing yourself politically as far as Black Lives Matter is concerned. And Layla Ali gave this statement. Let me play this for you guys.
And doing what's right for you so often is tied to race. Because when Colin walks around, like, he is still seen as Black before, you know, being as like an athlete. It's like one thing, being Black is always something that will be ascribed to you. And sort of like right now, I was talking about before my colleague before, like Cam Newton is in a really interesting spot because he has to try to find a way to sit in the middle, like not alienate all of his fans, but still be a Black man and speak out for other Black men. What is it about navigating that nuance that is so difficult?
Wow, that's not an easy answer. I think that obviously we know as Black people what it is to be Black, what we have to deal with to be Black. We have to work harder at anything that we do. You know, we're judged differently. That's just the way that it is. And if you don't want to admit it as a Black person, a white person, Asian person, then I don't know what world you're living in. You know, but obviously everyone has a different perspective. But, you know, when you live in a world where you're Black, but we as Black people are not calling the shots, we're not in charge, you have to fit in, you have to conform to a certain extent, but still try to be true to yourself, you know what I mean? But at the same time, like with me, for example, I don't, a lot of times there's posts that I like, that I might see that are very pro-Black, but I won't post it on my Facebook page, because I have fans from all races, from all around the world, and I don't ever like to make people feel separate. You know, and sometimes they do, like when you just be like, Black power, I love my, you know, so it's like, you know, I think it's time to like, I like the all lives matter, you know, yes, Black lives matter, yes, white lives matter, Asian lives matter, all lives matter, you know, and that's kind of what my focus is, but it's hard, you know, because, you know, you got sponsors, and you got this, and you got that, and you don't want to step on anybody's toes, and trying to be politically correct, but at the same time, trying to uplift your people, so it's a hard...
Is there a line though?
What do you mean?
Like as in?
All right. Now, the thing that's very disappointing about what Layla Ali said, was the fact that she's not saying that she doesn't support Black Lives Matter or like being pro-black or whatever else. And that would be jarring coming from her, being the daughter of the great Muhammad Ali, right? That would be jarring. But I thought it was interesting that she said that, like, yo, I don't believe that, like, you know, although I may agree with these things, that I may not post them or I may not express my support of them because I don't want to alienate certain fans because they may be of a different race. Or I may not want to alienate certain sponsors because it may be problematic for those sponsors to support me and pay me, pretty much, for taking these stances when it comes to supporting movements such as those of Black Lives Matter, right? And it's fucking disappointing more than anything else, considering who Layla Ali is and who Layla Ali is descended from, right? So Layla Ali is the daughter of the late great Muhammad Ali. And one of the things that made Muhammad Ali great was that Muhammad Ali decided that his principles took precedent over capitalism, and that his principles took precedent over being popular or being seen as, I don't know, how would I put this? Being able to connect to all people, so to speak? I don't know how to put this. But Muhammad Ali was his genuine self. Muhammad Ali didn't hide how he felt. Muhammad Ali didn't feel the need to hide how he felt. And that cost him dearly. It cost him his heavyweight championship. It cost him the prime years of his career. And it wasn't until Muhammad Ali was unable to speak and Muhammad Ali was riddled with Parkinson's disease that the nation decided that Muhammad Ali was now a hero. So for his daughter to come out and say, like, I don't want to alienate people who may not be black. I don't want to alienate sponsors by taking a position that says I'm in support of this movement, or that I agree with aspects of this movement, or I agree that Black Lives Matter. I don't want to take a position on that because I don't want to alienate these people and I don't want to fuck up my money. It's disappointing, right? So I want you, like, you listen to what Layla Ali had to say in that particular moment, man. I want you to, like, listen to Muhammad Ali speaking at a time where he wasn't being politically correct, right? As we would say, like, it's a funny thing is now, like, what Muhammad Ali said was really fucking controversial, and it would be seen as not being politically correct in the conservative way. Right. So here's Muhammad Ali speaking out and not worrying about whether or not he's being sponsored, whether or not he's alienating folks. This is Muhammad Ali speaking about why he decided not to go to the Vietnam War. What? Damn it, Span. Here you go.
My conscience won't let me go shoot my brother or some darker people or some poor hungry people in the mud for big powerful America and shoot them for what? They never called me nigger. They never lynched me. They never put no dogs on me. They never robbed me of my nationality, raped and killed my mother and father. What, I'm going to shoot them for what? How can I go shoot them? Them little poor little black people, little babies and children and women. How can I shoot them poor people? Just take me to jail.
Ali more than held his own against students who had a far better formal education than he.
I'm saying, you talking about me about some draft, and all of you white boys are breaking your neck to get to Switzerland and Canada and London. I'm not going to help nobody get something my Negroes don't have. If I'm going to die, I'll die now right here fighting you. If I'm going to die, you my enemy. My enemies are white people, not Viet Congs or Chinese or Japanese. You my opposer when I want freedom. You my opposer when I want justice. You my opposer when I want equality. You won't even stand up for me in America for my religious beliefs, and you want me to go somewhere and fight, but you won't even stand up for me here at home.
All right. That was Muhammad Ali. That was her father. That was her father. So to hear Layla Ali out here saying, well, I got fans who look like everybody and I don't want to alienate them. I don't want to post about these things. I don't want to talk about these things because I don't want to alienate them. I don't want to, you know, alienate these sponsors. It's disappointing as shit, man. And not only that, like, it's what makes it even more fucked up is that Layla Ali kind of like lives off of her dad's name, man. Yeah, she was accomplished as a boxer, man. She did her own thing. She did great things in the ring, man. But at the same time, like, yo, she benefits a lot from her father's legacy, right? So much so that they did an ad with Adidas where she's fighting her dad in the ad. She's getting paid off of this, man. And this is...
Impossible isn't a fact. It's an opinion. Like when they said it'd be impossible to beat Sonny Liston. He's too powerful, too experienced. Or when they said don't take the fight in Zaire. He's too young, too strong. He's gonna destroy Ali. So when my father looks impossible in the eye and defeats him again and again, what do you think I'm gonna do when they say women shouldn't box? Yeah, that's right. Rumble, young girl, rumble.
So yeah, it's fine to use your dad's legacy to enrich yourself. But let's not offend these other people. Let's not offend these white folks. Let's not offend these sponsors. This is why, unfortunately, and I hate to fucking do it, but god damn it, this is why Layla Ali has earned her position as an asshat of the week this week here at the Span Report.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
Well, we do got a champ.
The champ is here.
All right, now, the Span Report Champ of the Week this week is none other than the St. Louis Billikens, or the St. Louis University Billikens, or students of the St. Louis University, right? So, what happened at the University, the St. Louis University, man, is Alan West, who is a former Republican congressman. He was also a part of the Tea Party caucus. He's a very conservative man. He's spoken out against Obama on numerous occasions. He said a lot of really fucked up things. He was scheduled to give a speech at St. Louis University. And let's just say, man, the students there didn't really appreciate the fact that their school decided to let this dude come there and speak, man. So what ended up happening was he came there and the students decided to walk out as he was beginning his speech. Check this out. Let me pull this up for you guys real quick. Here we go.
Said, we are aware that some of you might think about walking out of this lecture. Go ahead and walk out if you're intolerant of conservative ideas. Walk out if you want to disrespect the military. Walk out if you simply can't stand to hear other people's ideas. As an alum of this organization, of this university, as an alum of this university, I find it shameful that students who proclaim to live by the oath of inclusion are unable to merely hear some of the now that I have that on. in the same neighborhood where Dr. Martin Luther King once preached. He is the third of four generations of military servicemen in his family, and he served with distinction for 22 years in the military before retiring in 2004. West's awards and decorations include the Bronze Star, Meritorious Service Medal, Army Commendation Medal, Army Achievement Medal, Valorous Unit Award, Air Assault Badge, and the Master Parachutist Badge. Lieutenant Colonel West proudly wears the Army Parachutist Badge, the Air Assault Badge, there's a lot, the Navy Marine Corps Parachutist Wings, the Italian Parachutist Insignia, and the German Proficiency Badge. After his retirement in the Army in 2004, Allen taught high school a year before returning to Afghanistan as a civilian military advisor to the Afghan Army, an assignment he finished in 2007. In November of 2010, Allen was honored to continue his oath of service to his country when he was elected to the United States Congress, representing Florida's 22nd district. As a member of the 112th Congress...
Okay, I'm not about to listen to this whole
thing. Lieutenant Colonel West introduced...
Goddamn. Check this out. If you notice, most of the people in the crowd are not. They are not clapping for this motherfucker.
It's a pleasure and honor to be here with you all. This is the first time I've ever been in St. Louis. I've been through St. Louis quite a few times. Y'all have a good night. Make sure you stay hard. And I would ask, I hear that there's a bake sale outside to support the Syrian refugees. If one of your representatives will come up here, I'd like to make a donation. I don't want to. This is a donation. This is a donation.
That's got you rude.
I guess y'all really don't care about the Syrian refugees.
Vast majority of these students are walking out.
Now the great thing is that everyone that's upstairs has got prime real estate down here.
All right, I want to give every last one of those students who got the fuck up and walked out a standing a motherfucking ovation. My damn self, I'm not gonna do it, but fuck it, why not? Right? Because let me tell you something, man. Not only was this motherfucker introduced and like the chick who introduced this dude tried to belittle those who had different opinions of this guy, right? Now I want to tell you something. One of the things he talked about was inclusion, when that's something that Allen West does not necessarily, like, he has a reputation for not exactly speaking about inclusion when it comes to his politics. He talked about him growing up in an area where MLK was also grew up and preached in, as if him somehow having some proximity to MLK gives him some fucking legitimacy. We want to talk about intolerance. Allen West was a part of the Tea Party caucus in the United States Congress, right? Allen West has proposed that the President of the United States fly Air Force One into a goddamn war zone to put himself in harm's way, because that's what the soldiers do. Allen West, hold on, I can show you better than I can tell you. Here's Allen West speaking on this shit real quick, and while this is playing, man, Span gonna run to the restroom. So check this out.
Florida GOP Representative Allen West made headlines after pulling a regular Joseph McCarthy when he said this.
I believe there's about 78 to 81 members of the Democratic Party that are members of the Congress Party.
But the closet communist claim wasn't all he had in mind. West went on to tell the crowd President Obama is scared of him. So who exactly is Allen West? He's a Florida congressman, a former military man, and a Tea Party darling. New York Magazine reports political figures like Herman Cain and Sarah Palin have recently advocated West as Mitt Romney's running mate. But the Washington Post's Chris Saliza told MSNBC, with comments like these, He may not stand
a chance. Very strong feelings about the President of the United States. You have said you think Barack Obama, quote, is probably the dumbest person walking around in America right now. You've also said, I can't stand the guy. I absolutely can't stand him. And this week in the New York Times, you criticized him for traveling to Afghanistan and landing the plane in the middle of the night for safety reasons. You said you thought that if soldiers are willing to put their lives on the line, that the president should put his life on the line when he goes to visit battle sites. Do you really believe that the president should literally put his life on the line, risk his life and the life of everyone else in that aircraft in order to make what point?
Well, I guess I'm coming from the fact that I was a commander on the ground. And I think one of the most important things is that leadership is by example. Now, if you disagree with the fact that I believe that leadership is about leading from the front, then you could do that. But I think that if we are asking our young men and women to put themselves in harm's way, we as elected leaders, we as the people up here in Washington, D.C., when we go over and just spend 1 week or, you know, 2 or 3 days, we need to be willing to go out there to some of these forward operating bases, some of these remote places, and spend some time with them.
You want to retract that. I'm going to give you a chance to retract that suggestion that the President of the United States should put his life in harm's way while president when visiting war zones. You should just, this is a chance to just apologize for it and move on.
Lawrence, I'm not going to retract that statement because I will tell you this. If I was sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, I would fly into a combat theater and I would get out there and visit those troops wherever they are. That's just the type of leader that I am, and that's what I believe in. And that's the type of leadership that was instilled in me and my father, who when I was commissioned as a second lieutenant back in 1982, they said that the number one job for you, Lieutenant West, is to take care of your men, especially when you go into combat.
Okay, and in your lifetime, just so we get the record straight, you've never ever seen a president do what you're suggesting a president should do. Never once.
Well, you know, if you want to go back and forth about this, you continue with how you feel that it should be done. But I'm sticking with my guns and saying that sometimes you have to have a different style of leadership. And I think that our men and women in combat require individuals that are willing to go out there and be with them in harm's way at times. And understand this, no one is going to allow the President of the United States to be in a dangerous situation.
All right, I'll take that as your apology. I'll take that statement as your retraction. Congressman Alan West, Tea Party Republican of Florida, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Well, you have a great the consequence of...
All right, now, you get a taste of who Alan West is and why after a certain point that people can walk out on an Alan West and not really try to take heed to the things that Alan West is suggesting, right? Now, one of the things that has to be said is this. Like, they talked about intolerance. Man, everything on every idea, every political position does not warrant equal, God damn it, what is it? It does not warrant equal consideration, right? I can know beforehand the person that I'm dealing with and know that that's not the type of motherfucker that I want to be around, right? I can know that the type of ideas that this person is speaking about are some bullshit ideas and should not be given legitimacy. And so what happens is, and this is what's happening to a lot of people who are considered conservative, so to speak, what's happening is a lot of their ideas are being shunned. A lot of the shit that they're talking about is being like, yo, man, that's dumb as fuck. And they don't, and they take real umbrage at the fact that, yo, people aren't taking them seriously. People aren't really taking heed to the shit that they're saying because a lot of the shit that they're saying is repulsive. A lot of the shit, a lot of what they're saying is not necessarily rooted in common sense. It's not rooted in logic. It's not rooted in any sort of learned person. Is not rooted in any sort of research whatsoever. And so the shit gets tossed aside. And then they start talking about, well, you know, the PC mafia. Or, you know, the victim mentality and all this other bullshit. It's like, yo, man, people after a certain point are like, man, that's bullshit, yo. Everything you just said is bullshit. And they don't know how to handle it. And so they try to throw a lot of the terms at those who would be deemed liberal or more open-minded or are those who have taken a lot more consideration and recognize that there's a lot of nuance and complication to a lot of the issues that we face, and a lot of the issues that we face are not simplistic, and we have to give them a more complex thought. That they don't have simple solutions. And Alan West represents someone who has simple solutions and asinine solutions to complex ideas and thoughts. You don't have to give this motherfucker equal weight, man. You don't have to give anybody equal time in your mind. Nobody. And thank you to those students at St. Louis University who expressed that, yo, man, I'm not dealing with this shit. I don't have to sit here until I don't have to tolerate this. I don't have to listen to this. Fuck this guy. And that's what they did. And for that, the St. Louis Billikens, the students at St. Louis University, are the champs of the week here at the Span Report podcast, man. Real talk. But yeah, man, it's time for your boy to get out of here. But of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report podcast, man, and let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I will play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also hit me up at the email at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Hit me up there. I will read those emails and respond here on the show as well. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Mr_Span. Follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. Follow me on Facebook at the Mr. Span fan page, man. You can catch these shows live right here on Facebook. Hit me up on, Facebook, Mr. Span 37, the Mr. Span fan page. Follow the Mr. Span fan page. Get updated when the Mr. Span fan page goes live. Updated when we do this show live. Watch it on any platform you want to. Watch it on your computer. Watch it on your phone. Watch it on your tablet. Watch it on your TV. All of that. Do all of that. Right here at the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. And for all of your fans, all of your Mr. Span needs, man, all of the Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. Catch this show live right there as well. You can also check out those videos that I use to do the show. You can also vote in the polls. You can donate to the show how often as you like, as much as you like. It is always appreciated. And yeah, man, everything's available at thespanreport.com, man. But it's time to get out of here. So I'd like to thank everybody who was in the chat. I'd like to thank everybody who watches the show live and who watches the show later on the replays, man. And for everybody who supports the Span Report as long as you have, man. So until next time, fam, peace.